Today we will come to Word and this sermon I called very simple. Spiritually unfinished. Today we're going to talk about a few moments in the life of people, spiritually premature. I am a person who is dreaming to not just to come to bring up myself or you, but also those who are behind the walls of this church and who listen to us. We're always on the two sides of the road. It's when one thing is when we don't do anything or don't want to do anything. You know, our self-dignity is completely destroyed. We're upset with God, with ourselves, and with everything that God is doing. And we're frozen with problems and sin. On the other side, we want to do so much for Christ that we jump into something that is not ours in not due time. And we're trying to do something. So there's going to be another sermon today to help you to discern where and when I must move and where I must stand. Immature dream. So something was born that became a hindrance, not just for you, but everyone who knows you. I know what is premature dream. I know what is premature spiritual things, and we will talk about these things. So on my bitter experience, you can learn, and to help you to get into your thing, into correct time, and discern where God speaks and where He does not speak. And I will share with you a small secret from the Word of God to understand how is the calling of the Holy Spirit works. How is the calling of the God works in our life? Very interesting. You know, our lives, our destinies, they're full of premature ideas. Or ministries, families, husbands and wives, we jump into some relationships, and then we blame God for our problems, and then we blame everyone around just because we did not carry our dream through. It can be anything, the monetary or financial or family matters. Whatever you do, or whatever you dream about, and to us people, devil usually promises this one thing. And I know many anointed people from the Bible; they did not carry this dream through. And we're going to talk about our father Abraham, who did not carry his dream through the whole time that he's supposed to, and he realized the dream sooner than he was supposed to. And I will explain to you why it happened. And I will tell you why God was so much against it, so Abraham would start doing something ahead of time. No, Abraham was not bad, and Ishmael, his first son, was a bad person. No, because Abraham, he did not understand the time, and he came into his calling prematurely. And today, we will follow the history. Today is going to be very interesting. Sometimes we take fragments off of this book, but I want to share this, the whole story, and I want you to contemplate what is happening around. How do we need to find our place? Because the dream of every who was born again to find himself in God, to find his destiny, to find his dream, and to be content with what you do. There is nothing better, my loved ones, my church, dear family, that we would find a place in which you would be content day and night, in which you enjoy, and for you there is nothing better than to be where you are. This is where our pleasure is, and this is the what we need to get into our life and to find yourself and to be in the correct place in the correct time. Let's get into a story. We will read from Genesis, chapter 15. We will get into 15th and 16th. and we will read fragments, and we will get into this story, and we will get into it. We will start read from Genesis of chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me?" And there is a question mark. Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Look, see, the dream from God always will be based on some problem in your life. I just want you to understand this secret. This is the number one thing. How to have a dream. Do you have a problem? Do you have a problem right now? If then you will have a dream. If you don't have any problems, then everything is paid for and so on and so forth. Everything is well. You have no problems. Then you have nothing to cry to God about. Well, look, all the greatest stuff in the Bible was born and it was based on a problem. We see the women who were barren, they gave birth to great people. We see Anna who started shouting to God and said, "Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. What do I need to do? I cannot raise the children of this co-wife. She's so-called co-wife of my husband. I cannot, because I'm barren." And she and her dream of Anna was born on the starvation and the problem. I don't want to get into the rest of the details. We know that how many moments and happen in the life because you have a problem. I want to ask you a question: how big is your problem? How big is the problem? In how deep is that or profound that problem is? That's where your dream will be born. From there, your dream will begin. You know what I stand here. It was born from the pain and from problems, because I was going from church to church. I was going from one church to another, and I could not find a place from which I can be nourished or receive food. I ate a little bit here, a little bit there, some spiritual food. Did you have this feeling? You went there. But you're still not full. Your appetite is becoming bigger, and you want to go one day, just go and eat a lot. And this problem of my life brought me where that I did not find the church. Oh, you're so smart. You didn't find the church. No, I did not find a church, because for me, I wanted more. See, if you like it, then may God bless you. If you're content with what you have over there, it's okay. But I, in my life, I was not content, because I was hungry. I was spiritually hungry. I was very thirsty to see something that I had never seen before. And God says, your dream will be based on your hunger. And what you were looking for, you will say this, because your dream is based on your problem, of the problem of your life. So I'm asking you a question. Well, we'll go farther. The base number one, do you have a problem? If you have a problem, then there will be life. If you have a problem, there will be dream. If you have a problem, that there's something in your life will move. You'll say, how? On the problem, everything is based. Yes, everything is based on that problem, whether you want to or not. We observe, according to the Bible, we know, then from the difficult moments, something great is born. Chapter number one. Abram had a problem. His dream, that what God wanted to give him, it was based on his problem. God told him, "I will make you great." And immediately he tells God, "God, what greatness are you talking about? I have nothing in my life that will continue my generations." See, this guy here in my house, he will be a master in my house after my death. I don't know, he's not even my relative. He just lives in my house. He's just, sort of a roommate. He is going to be my heir, and I cannot do anything with myself. Why? Because he is my heir. What greatness are you talking about? And God told him, with my own words, I'm telling you that right here, that's where your miracle will take place. In this hole in which there's a big problem, you don't know where to go with it. That's where your dream will be fulfilled. Let's read further. And behold, the word of the Lord, came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. My loved ones, do you see what the Lord is showing you? Do you see these stars? Do you see these stars in the barren womb? Do you see? You will say, it's awesome to believe when you have something. But why did God account this to him for righteousness? Because he believed in something that cannot take place. And because in him and Sarah, nothing worked. It didn't work. And when you believe in something invisible, when you believe in something that is impossible to do or to produce, that's what God accounts you for righteousness. This becomes your beginning, and here your miracle begins because you said, yes, Lord, I believe. You know how many people, they crossed out their destinies just because by unbelieving. God says, I will give you a great family. You say, who, me? What family? Look at me. Look at me. What am I? You know, I'm always like this. You just cursed yourself. All you need is just to say, yes, I believe. I don't care how. I don't care how many years or how old I am. I'd rather maybe, but you know, it's better for your family to be from God, but a little bit later, or to suffer with somebody who God did not give you, and you'll suffer with them all your life. Only those who divorced can understand me. Yeah, I can understand. People, they just failed. Only those can say amen who actually went through it. If you did not go through it, you cannot say amen because you don't know what it feels like. Abraham believed God and he accounted to him for righteousness. But when a dream comes, a prophecy came into your life, you will have. You will have a great ministry. You will have many saved souls. You will have a great influence. And the Holy Spirit tells you, you will do this. And you already close your eyes and you see these stars. You see how everything is taking place. You start enjoying just by dreaming. And here a time passes by. You know, that we are people, we don't like to wait. Some people, one person say, I don't like to chase and to wait. We don't love to chase something or someone or to wait. I always try to keep up with someone. To wait for people, it's my loved ones, if you want to test how your patient is, were you always on the phone when people put you on hold on a telephone and you listen to this abominable music? You know, at least put on some good music. So you can sit there and just, you know, enjoy it a little bit. But there is some, you know, there's this music, but you cannot do anything because you have to wait. We hate waiting. You know, every minute is passing like an hour and, you know, like a whole day. And all of a sudden the operator says, hello, we apologize that you have to wait. I waited long. If you're Russian, you'll be calm. But if you're free, you will not be pleased with the person on the other side of the line because we hate waiting. We don't like waiting. We don't like sitting in traffic. Who loves sitting in traffic? Oh, there's a couple of people. Man, you're lucky. There are some people. Praise God. But the rest, we hate traffic. If you're stuck in traffic, no. You know, you're there. Some people in traffic, he turns on music. He says, you know, I can, you know, listen to music for an hour. It's all good. But usually all the people in the world, they hate traffic. We don't like to get stuck in traffic. How long will we sit in traffic? I don't know. You sit there, you click your radio, you make phone calls, you're trying to come up with a plan where to exit and just not to wait, to avoid it. This is our essence, we don't like to wait. And that's it. Anything. Stand in line or anything. Anything, anywhere. We hate it. And a moment in the life of Abraham comes where he has to wait. The wait is okay. Okay to sit in traffic. You know, it'll pass away. But here, the wife is barren. God spoke to him many years ago. And that's it. It's like, you know, driving and depend on the navigation system to drive. You know, your navigation system says you're driving on such street. Keep straight ahead, and you go, and you go for a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. You need someone to talk to you. You know, you press on the button on the navigator, it'll say, keep straight ahead. You know, it's already for me to time to turn. You press the button, and it says, keep going straight. Same thing with God. Why doesn't he speak to me? Because you didn't get to the destination where you need to make a turn. I'm already waiting for 3 years. You will wait for 4 if you will not shut up. No, he needs to give me a revelation. No, he already gave you 3 years ago a revelation to go, keep going straight. Keep going straight. And shut your mouth and relax. You know, I must, Lord, I haven't heard Lord in the one. I haven't heard it in 12 years. He told me, keep going straight. It was a long road for me. And I had an accident. I had a few accidents along the road. And you wait, Lord, when will your word will come into my life? Lord, when will something come into my life? Keep going straight. But God keeps telling you, keep doing what I told you to do. You know that God with Abraham didn't speak. You know, he didn't speak with him for like 15 years. And you said, Lord, see, Abraham spoke with God. You know, he's a friend of God, he's called. For 15 years, they had a break. You know, you'll sit a week without speaking with God, and you already will start going insane, you know. And Abraham had a dilemma, what to do. He doesn't have anything. And he walks into Canaan where there is nothing. It says, God did not give him that land. He was just walking on that land, and he was just dreaming. How do you like this life? You're smiling. Huh? If you just walk around, you know, you have a barren wife, and God doesn't tell you anything anymore. And you know, Abraham got tired of it. He said, maybe I did not receive a right revelation. Maybe I did not understand it. And Sarah, she was, you know, she was great. She helped Abraham. Let's read how Sarah helped Abraham. But Sarah, wife of Abraham, she was not given birth. It's like anything ever depends on you. You know, sometimes we say, Lord says, this is my problem. Lord spoke to me, but I'm not given birth, so I need to fix this problem. No, you need to wait. You need to wait. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go unto my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Amen. Why not? Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Let's read verse 15. So Hagar born Abram a son. And Abram named his son from Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And now here the problems have begun. Abraham, he's bad? No, he's not. So Ishmael is bad? Why did God cast away Ishmael and did not give anything? Why? What happened in the life? Lord, what's the difference? The son is still from Abraham, but there is a secret church. There is a secret. Why? Why? This time has passed by, and God did not receive Ishmael. Listen, listen here. You know that all people that are that were used by God powerfully, they were renamed by God. You, when we read about Saul, who became Paul, we read about disciples of Jesus Christ, practically all of them were renamed, Kepha, and so on and so forth. We read about these lives of people that God has given them a new name. We read about Jacob. After encounter with God, he was given a new name, Israel. And now we come to this thing. You know that in that time when Abraham, he was conceiving or with Hagar, Ishmael, his name was still Abram. You hear me? His name was Abram. But my loved ones, but why? What happened when I went into the dictionary and started studying this one moment? What happened in the life of Abraham? Why? Why did this thing happen with him? Why was he? When Ishmael was born, he was called Abram. And only when God renamed him, God gave him power, and he reborn the womb of his wife, Sarah. The most interesting thing is that in our translation, Abraham, it sounds Abraham. When we read from Jewish language, it was a letter H was added. It was Abraham, Abram, and when God renamed him, he was called Abraham. In our, it's Russian language is very poor. In Greek, it was another phrase. What does that phrase mean? It meant that God has breathed in life in Abraham. We read about change of name, but in the Bible, it's absolutely Abram and Abraham. It's two different people. You hear me? Absolutely have nothing in common. Until I will Abram and was doing everything that I wanted to do, that had no life. It didn't have the breath and it didn't have any significance. But only when God has encountered and met me, just as he encountered or met you or will meet you, to your name there will be an appendage, a small thing that sounds like, huh, which means life. When God was breathing life into Adam, same thing happened. He became a live soul. Here, the same thing took place. In order for you to have success and blessing or breakthrough, for you to have a great glory of God inside of you and on you, to your name, there must be an appendage. That, you know, he needs to add the life to your name. Maybe it sounds strange to you. We read this story in a totally different way, but I'm telling you, God has totally different methods of working with us. And look, Abram, chapter 17, I'm just guiding you through this, and you will understand. So that's why nothing works out for me. That's why everything that I'm trying to do, I'm doing it just like him. I preach from the same Bible. I'm praying to the same God. I'm doing everything the same way. Only he has supernatural success, but I have supernatural failure. What is this? My loved ones, have you met him? Really? We're not just getting introduced, but did you meet him face to face? My loved ones, when we read the story about... When we read story about Isaac, this person was totally separated by God, and And God even called him. We'll read it a little bit farther. We understand that in the birth of your miracle, your hand cannot be involved in this, in the making of your miracle. This is what that's why it's called miracle from God, because you cannot, or not able, or not supposed to intervene into this miracle. I want you to understand just this phrase, Ham, Abraham, this addition to his name, it decided everything in the life of Abraham. Until that phrase, you have no right to do anything, because everything that you will do, it will be born from the flesh and will be called flesh. But when God breathes the breath of life inside of you, we speak language, we read the same Bible, but only when I speak, for example, the things become alive, or when somebody else speaks, they don't move at all. Why? Because when you go through your desert, when you go through your moment of your life, why was Jesus did not come into a ministry until he went through that desert? Because here, to the name of Jesus, was added this phrase, God has breathed the breath of life. He was tested, and now he came out of the desert in the power of Holy Spirit. There is something in the life of each person, in the life of Jesus or Joseph, you need to go through something that to your name will be added this. Your name will remember same Tanya or Vera or Andre or Sasha, but in the spiritual world, something will be changing your name, and now the spiritual world, it's absolutely, it communicates totally different with you and sees you in a totally different way. I want you to understand this. You understand what I'm talking about? Everyone understands. I want you to understand this. I want you to explain this to you so you would not make mistakes. You will say, how to recognize? You will know exactly. I know when in me, when this life entered into me. I just know when God breathed inside of me, and I could not just sit around anymore. Tell me, who can retain a woman on the ninth month when the labor comes? When she needs to give birth, what can you do? What can you do to retain? How can you block it? It's impossible. I know what it is. I already received two children. So it's impossible. Can you stop the harvest in the field? Even if you won't be able to harvest it, but you know all the crops, you know it will. It will do it by itself. You know, the most interesting thing, that harvest and the birth of something, we cannot retain or hold back. But what can we do? We can do an abortion, or we can do something prematurely, or a stillborn. So it's a stillborn that is taken out of the womb ahead of time, so it's premature. And then this premature fruit, it will not be what the ripe fruit will do. So we can abort our own ministry, but that we did not wait until God will breathe that addition to your name and change your name. When your name is changed, your life is changed. We know from the life of Jacob, whose name was a liar. Usually I say this on the encounter on the first day. He was called liar. And the main thing is when he met God, and God has changed him, his name, he said, your name is now, will not be a liar, but your name will be Israel. Why? Because you were wrestling God, and you will overcome other men. You know what I'm talking about. Now, after encounter with God, He came in a liar, or Jacob, and came out to be Israel with a twisted bone. Now maybe he has a problem, but now no one cannot touch him. And now the future was breathed into him. God has breathed a future into him. Now we understand that no one can touch this person anymore because he is under supernatural protection from God, and everything that he has, it all belongs to the Lord. A very interesting moment.
And you won't be called anymore Abram, but your name will be Abraham. I will make you the father of many nations. Let's read from the very beginning, chapter 17. I like it very much. See that the name wasn't changed yet. Isaac, I want you to understand, I'm talking now human language. When God changed his name, he touched him, and here's the manly seed or sperm was changed. Everything inside Abraham was turned upside down and changed. Why? Because now, when this seed is touching the body, the womb of his wife, it gave birth to his wife. Do you hear me? I want you to understand this story and never ask stupid questions. Now, when Abram was changed into Abraham, now he was given life. Believe me, this story is just a simple human story that we're reading. But I want you spiritual people to look from the spiritual side. Now his seed, this moment his seed didn't have life. And now whoever would become pregnant, even his wife would become pregnant, it was before the predestined time. But now his seed was so much revived. Now when he laid with his wife, he gave life to her dead womb because he was changed. Is it hard for the Sunday service? You get everything? Hallelujah. You know, when I was reading this story, I said, Oh Lord, every Christian should know this. Every Christian should know. Everyone who dreams going into service should know this. Please don't smile at this. This is a very serious topic. And now, my dear, I'm not talking now about that seed that we give birth to children. I'm talking about when we are born, he breathes in life. And only then, out of my heart and your heart, rivers of living water may flow. Now you understand me why we sometimes turn on the TV. And we switch 10-15 sermons, preachers that don't speak anything into our lives. You know why? Because this service is according to their own desire. Sometimes a phrase spoken accidentally by an anointed person has more power than the preparation of hundreds of preachers, oh, my dear friends. This accidentally spoken phrase bears in it power on life. Now, when you hear it, it revives you. It gives you life. And now, my dear, all the meaning of our life is in wait till you and I will be. Our names will be changed. And when your name will be changed, my God, everything your hand will touch will live and will be blessed. Oh, look. Chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 19 years old, that was a serious time, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thee exceedingly. He says, I will make my covenant. And then he speaks about the covenant. I am your covenant. I am the covenant with you. Me. I am your covenant. We are in a covenant, and I am your covenant. Now, after meeting me, and after I've changed your name, after a certain testing, you can call it any name. After a certain time working with God, he gives you a new name. And now, you accidentally, you're visiting someone, and you can see how lives have changed. I know that many of you understand me 100% because you're doing this. And after that, they called me and they said, your people visited us, and now I can't sleep. I can't sleep now. Why can't you sleep? They told me something, and it started moving something inside of me. It made me think. It made me pray, because many of you have this life, and you just don't tell people, go to church. But when you speak your words, they have life and power inside of them. They just revive those people they touch. God has changed your destiny. Why some people say, aren't you afraid to do this, to do that? No, I'm not afraid. Because I know that my name was changed, has been changed, and I know the day when it was changed, because that day you'll remember for your whole life, when you will be in the place of a press, when you'll be one-to-one with God, and when you'll be sitting on that mountain, and you'll be held on to Him, crying out, I won't let you go until you bless me. I know my time. I know my place. Let's go further. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed. You'll be the father of many nations, and your name will not be Abram. This is the secret, but your name will be Abraham. For I will make you the father of many nations. Only after this phrase, Abraham had the full right to work. And I will make thee exceedingly fruit, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Oh, this is where the dream is. But the most interesting thing is, we've been changed, our name. We're changed, but Ishmael is still there. And you know, when we have Ishmael, this prematurely born person, prematurely born ministry, it doesn't bless you, it torments you. When you're going somewhere, when you're taking something, but your own will, you say, oh, again, you know what we usually do? We say, oh, Lord, bless this, what I started without you. But you know that God can bless him. Sometimes we are imploring God for years to bless something that we need to send away and to give birth to do it all over again to something new. And have a look at what Abraham tells God, a person whose name has already been changed. We already met God. After we met God, we are afraid to let this Ishmael go. Look. Verse 18, chapter 17, verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, oh, God, why? I have everything. Bless him. God said, no, I will never bless. It's not working. What you initiated, I'm only blessing my own, because you named Ishmael, because you made Ishmael. Ishmael was born in a time when you thought is the right time, but God has his own timing, and he is never changing his word. Look what's happening. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call him Isaac. And you don't even have a name to, the right to give name to your child, to name a child. You don't have anything with this miracle. You relate to this miracle only when God gives you a new name. And everything that you have to do, just a physical action, you just have to be with your wife as Abraham was with his wife. The rest doesn't depend on you. All that you need to do is to believe and say, yes, it will be. The nation will be saved. Even if I am a gray old man, but I will see the salvation of the nation. I will see the religion destroyed that chokes my generation every day. I will see the freedom. Your action, not to give birth, but to stand and to proclaim. That's everything you need. And this will be considered to you as righteousness. Everything that you have to do is to wait and to believe. The rest doesn't depend on you. And let's look at this story, how it unfolds.
You know that God does not buy our prayers.
You know, it's impossible to buy God without imploring. Oh, God, you understand me. Oh, please bless. This business is eating you up. You have to get rid of it. These people that you are with right now, that you say, Lord, save them. God tells you, leave them. This is not your society. Leave them. Get rid of it. Get rid of these relatives that are soaking out of you the last drops of life. Oh, Lord, I implore you, you will die if you don't let it go. You know that Ishmael and Isaac, they can't be in the same house. Do you hear me? They can't live in the same house. Someone has to leave the house, and you know who. Look. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. Oh, why? Because Abraham now has life in him. Now he's the one who gives life. And now God says, with this child I will make a covenant because he was born from me, not from you. Look. My covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Oh, my God. Are you taking something for you, my dear? I want you to understand that there is a moment in the life of a person, and this is a real moment. It's not something imaginary. It's not a fairy tale story. Why some people have a supernatural success and the others are being tormented all of their life? Because you didn't wait for the right time. Because you are doing when you want to do it. Believe me, my dear. We will never be able to restrain what God promised to your life. We'll never be able to restrain the child who's coming out. But we can abort our fate. We can do something that will hinder our future, our life. And my dear, this is the moment. Prematurely born son, it's when we think that what God should do, when we believe right for God to do right now. It's when Sarah had a deal with Abraham to have a union with Hagar. The full dream is when you are completely given to God. And it was only 1 year for Abraham to get his dream. And my dear friends, we shall all be tested. We shall all be tested in time, because through time your dream is being tested, because the time tests your thirst. This is where life is. The son who came in his time is when God does his work in the due time. Everything comes to life with God in its time. Nothing is coming out when someone wants. Sometimes we want the apple tree to give apples in winter. Yeah, I understand there are some greenhouses. Sometimes the tree doesn't understand what season is, and it starts giving apple in winter in a greenhouse. But we understand that there is a natural nature. There is natural law, and we can't just water the apple right now in winter and we expect it to give us apples. But it will bear fruit when the law of this life will give her a call to bear forth fruit right now. The same is in our life, my dear. Do you know, first of all, you need, your dream is based on your need, but when a dream is coming into your life or a prophecy or God speaks something into your destiny, don't even try to understand with your head that this is your time to move. No, this is a time for you to get strong and to believe that God will come in His time and will change everything in your life. Do you understand me? So please wait till God will breath this little phrase, breath of life. Or if you would understand, I'm giving you now the secrets of life and success. If you would only understand me now, my dear. If I could only explain you what's the most important in my life, it's what I'm telling you right now. That God took one simple boy off the street and he took him through all this way and showed him that without this little phrase, you can learn you can graduate 100 schools, you can get a special degree of education, but without this little addition of life, nothing will live in your life. Nothing that you will be touching will give life. Only what He gives you can bring forth life. And when we look at the people around us, we say, when we look at his face, at his countenance, we can think that you can't hear to him. But when you take everything that you imagine and you think at what I'm speaking about, you'll understand that those words that come out of me, it's not my invention. And this topic that I'm speaking right now, he told me to tell you, so that each one of you would understand that there is a moment in life when God gives breaths life into you. Oh, I can't explain enough how I enjoy what I'm doing. You can't understand enough how much I am satisfied. I'm not being tormented. I'm not suffering. For me, it's a pleasure. It's a great satisfaction. My greatest satisfaction is to teach the people of God and my family to put something into these. This is where success is. Please wait when your name will be changed, and only then no one will be able to stop you. You understand that when God said, don't depart from Jerusalem, you remember that moment? Until the power comes down, the Holy Spirit comes down upon you, and only then. This is the thing, when God comes and He brings life into us, only then you'll be able to come out of Jerusalem. And only after that, when he will breathe life into you, 2,000 people will come to God, 3,000. It's enough for you to say only one phrase. You understand me? This is the meaning of Christianity. Why are we so messed up in this life? Because this life tells us that in order to have success in this life, you need to learn, you need to get a degree. And this is correct. Yeah, this is right. You'll never become a doctor if you don't learn. But my friends, God's law is completely different. You can be a professional seeder, but none of one child, only when he tells, none of your children will have life. Only when he will breathe life into you. Only then the child that will be born will be the right one. And now I'm enjoying my child. Sometimes the child spits out pees, but my child is alive. It's given from God and it's growing. My child is moving forward. May God bless you. I don't want to keep you further. Did you understand this little phrase, that little thought? Give glory to God. Let's stand up and let's give glory to God. Oh Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship before you. We give glory to you, our precious God. We believe, Lord, that you will give us strength to chew this topic and understand it. Because if we don't understand this little topic in our life and we'll start doing something, we are doomed for a failure for the whole life, for strife and trouble for the whole life. And we'll be trying to bless what we gave birth to. But when you will give birth to something, this will give us enjoyment and satisfaction. And this is what we want. And we thank you, Lord, for the life you're giving us. We thank you for success. We thank you for the satisfaction in seeing the growth of this child, influence of this child. We thank you for friends. We thank you for this large family, for the pleasure of being in you and being with you. Thank you, our beloved God, for everything you are doing. Please continue to teach us, continue to change us, continue to revive us. We are thankful for our lives to you. Thank you, our beloved Lord, for everything. Amen.